Last year's Pennsylvania grand jury report was one of the most sweeping investigations into sex abuse in the Catholic Church. But, like nearly all similar investigations, it was limited only to priests. For Keystone Crossroads, Laura Benshoff reports survivors of abuse by nuns say they are swept aside in the ongoing search for justice.
When Trish Cahill was 15, she says a nun took interest in her.
She got my phone number from my aunt and uncle, my parents' phone number, and she called and asked if I would play guitar in a hootenanny mass.
This was the 60s.
So Peter, Paul, and Mary and whatever, and I really didn't play the guitar.
Cahill now lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She grew up in a big Irish Catholic family in northern New Jersey, where attention from a nun was considered flattering. The two became close. She says the nun offered to be her spiritual leader and started holding her hand in public. Then, one day, she invited Cahill to a shore house and slipped something into her tea.
And she took me into the bedroom, where I passed out. I don't really know what happened that night. I mean, I do know what happened that night, but I was not conscious. I was not able to make a decision.
Cahill says the nun, who was 20 years older, was part of her life for the next decade. During that time, she began struggling with drugs and alcohol. Today, she's sober and living in a friend's guest room. She pulls out bags of photos and slides that she's kept, reminders of what she can clearly see now was abuse.
See how long my hair is? Because she told me she wanted me to wear my hair long. Wear these, get these glasses, don't hang around with this person. She just controlled my life.
Victims of abuse by nuns have gotten far less attention amid the larger Catholic Church abuse scandal. But the watchdog group Bishop Accountability has compiled a list of about 100 nuns nationwide who have been credibly accused. Mary Dispenza is a former nun who is critical of church hierarchy. She says convents have been too slow to call out abusers in their ranks.
In a religious community, this truly becomes your family. It's a dynamic that keeps the secrets going.
As a point person with the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, Dispenza said she's heard from more than 60 people alleging sexual abuse by nuns since the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out last August.
Survivors went looking to find their stories listed among those shared in the investigation, and they weren't there. They've actually made calls to ask, why aren't there more stories? Can my story be counted?
Part of the issue is their stories aren't counted. The PA grand jury report didn't investigate nun abuse. And the Catholic Church considers sexual abuse by nuns or religious order priests, like Jesuits and Franciscans, as separate from abuse by its diocesan priests. But survivors like Kate Finnegan, who lives in the Poconos, say those distinctions shouldn't matter.
She told me that she loved me and that God was love. God is love. And that this was the way that she could best express her love for me, which was very godly.
Finnegan says she was raped and abused in high school by a nun who taught Spanish. She says it was a disorienting time. She herself hoped to be a nun, but she couldn't untangle her faith from the abuse.
We prayed together one evening, and I was praying to God to make her stop.
Finnegan says it wasn't till her late 30s that she began to see what happened as anything other than her own fault. By that time, it was too late to take legal action. For that reason, advocates want victims of both priests and nuns to have increased opportunities to sue. But that requires changing state law. In the meantime, victims of nuns can only turn to the religious orders themselves for compensation. That's what Finnegan did, and she says she got some money for therapy. So did Trish Cahill.
They settled for $70,000, which the lawyer got a third of.
In a statement, the Sisters of Charity say they investigated and substantiated Cahill's claims and removed the nun from ministry. Cahill, though, is far from healed. To cope, she often spends hours a day writing about her abuse on Facebook.
We are an invisible minority. People are not paying attention to us unless we shove it in their face. So I shove in their face for 8 hours a day.
Cahill says it's her way of openly confronting the culture that silenced her. For Keystone Crossroads, I'm Laura Benshoff.